We're here in the Congressional Corner with Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney, Democrat of New York's 18th District, in office since 2013. Sean, if I may call you that, I have a question for you, and that is, what's happening with health care in this country? We know that the president tried to kill the Affordable Care Act. Bring us up to date.
Well, look, we were successful in protecting the most important parts of the Affordable Care Act. They did end what's called the individual mandate, which is the requirement that people have health insurance or face a penalty. That was important so that everybody's in the risk pool in the system, so that you get the healthy people in with the less healthy people, and that way you can crack the code on cost, which is the great unfinished business, right? We have made great gains in coverage through the Affordable Care Act and also the expansion of Medicaid, which has been very important. But we have not cracked the code on costs. It costs too much. Prescription drug costs are killing people. Premiums are killing people. Healthcare is still a huge concern for most of the families I represent. And the fact is that, you know, thank God we're not going backwards. You know, thank God we're going to protect people with pre-existing conditions. You may have read, I myself use some healthcare recently.
Yeah.
But, you know, so I can give you a report from the front on that. You know, it's just a reminder. I mean, I'm a member of Congress. I got my butt kicked by a simple infection that was, you know, resistant to the antibiotics they gave me, became more serious than it should have been. I'm fine. Thank you very much. But the point is that I think you see when you're forced to go to an emergency room, when you're forced to go to a hospital, you see just how vulnerable people are in that moment and how important it is that they have a healthcare system that protects them in that moment of crisis. You know, are you going to pay $500 to take your kid to the emergency room? If you are, because that's your copay, you know, are you going to wait when the kid's got 101 fever, or are you going to take them in? I mean, the system is set up in a way that cost is still affecting people's ability to access quality care for their families, and that's nuts. But we have preserved things like keeping kids on your policy till they're 26, things like protection for people with pre-existing conditions. We've ended discrimination against women so they don't pay more than men for health care. I mean, we've made a lot of progress, and it's very important, by the way, on things like the opioid epidemic, that we preserve Medicaid, which is going to pay for the treatment beds we need and the longer stays that people in recovery need to overcome heroin or opioid addictions. So healthcare remains job number one for all of us in D.C., it seems to me. And the key thing is cracking the code on cost.
Hey, I remember that you had a fairly rocky relationship with Congressman John Faso, who was defeated. And
yeah.
So now you got Representative Delgado, who you really tried to help get elected, and he did. How is that relationship going?
Oh, listen, I think people are going to find out that Antonio Delgado is a huge talent. He's a good human being. He really cares about doing this work. He's going to be a great partner for me in the House of Representatives. And listen, yeah, I had my differences with John Faso, but, you know, more importantly, the people have spoken, and we need to respect that. You know, I hope people give him a chance. I think you're going to see him going to do great work. He's got an advantage I didn't, which is that he's starting in the majority. I think he's going to get some great committee assignments. I'm really looking forward to working with Antonio Delgado. You know, the guy's a Rhodes Scholar and a Harvard Law grad. He's incredibly talented intellectually. He's a super hard worker, and I think he's just chomping at the bit to do the job. So I'm excited about it.
We've interviewed him many times, and we will continue to, that's for sure. So let me talk to you a little bit about the opioid crisis. It really hasn't gone away, has it?
No, it has not. But there's real progress being made, but it's going to be slow to show up, meaning we're finally funding at the federal level a lot of the programs that will work. You know, there is a lot of stuff in the pipeline around reducing the availability of prescription opioids, making sure doctors aren't overprescribing, getting our kind of electronic prescription systems and monitoring systems up so we can track that better. But we've got a terrible problem with the move to heroin. Fentanyl is flooding into our country, often by the mail. I've got legislation that would get us on top of what is happening with that, because I meet people in recovery who ran a drug business out of their home, literally never left the house. They order the drugs online. They're delivered through UPS or FedEx or the postal system. You can put thousands of doses of fentanyl in a business-size envelope. We don't have adequate screening for that.
That's not against the law, Sean?
It is very much against the law, but it happens every day. And we don't have good data on how much of it is flooding into our country. A lot of it is coming from China. We have a terrible problem with online opioid sales, and we got to get on it. And that is the point of the spear right now. We are seeing the terrific and terrible effects of, you know, a decade where we were giving this stuff away like candy. We got a bunch of people hooked. We've got to make sure there are long-term treatment options available. We have to stop running them through the criminal justice system, and we should send them directly to treatment. That's why Medicaid's so important for those expanded treatment beds and the length of stays. There has to be insurance coverage for this. I mean, it is an all-hands-on-deck problem, and I will tell you to moms and dads out there listening, get this stuff out of your medicine cabinets. Mm. If you've got leftover opioids from a surgery or a procedure a few years back, if you've got an elderly parent who's got this stuff in the house and it's not necessary to keep it around, get rid of it. There are good drug take-back programs. Take it to the pharmacy. Take it to your police department. We know most kids get hooked on this stuff out of a prescription bottle, and then they go to heroin. So getting this stuff out of your home is important. By the way, this is why people get break-ins sometimes, is somebody's working in your house and then they see it and they come back later. I mean, this is such a powerfully addictive substance that it creates terrible, terrible problems. And there's no substitute for moms and dads and families talking to one another, being alert to this. Do not give your kid this stuff for more than a couple of days after a surgery unless it's really necessary. It's been terrible, terrible stretch, but we are turning the corner, I believe, and there's a lot of good resources and knowledge now on the problem, and a lot of people are working on it. But it's going to start with communities really, really getting active and talking to, you know, coaches and parents, priests and rabbis, moms and dads, talking to one another, because that's where we're going to make progress.
We only have about a minute and a half, and I wanted to ask you about the ongoing saga of the awful water contamination issue in Newburgh. Are we on top of it yet?
We are, but we still have a serious issue, but it's not a public health issue right now the way it was, meaning Newburgh's a good example of what happens when people work together in a timely way. So the city and the state and my office really did work closely together in terms of getting the city on the New York City water system. The aqueduct runs right through, so we got them clean water fast. We did comprehensive blood testing. I got blood tested. My office got blood tested. You know, we think we understand the nature of the problem, and it has been, thankfully, we think, not that significant as a public health issue, but we're not going to happy talk it. That's why I actually have legislation that will create a research program at the federal level to find out what the safe levels, if any, of this stuff is in human blood. Those are PFOAs, PFOSs. These are contaminants. We don't have good research on it at the federal level. We need it so the EPA can set the right standards. I've got another piece of legislation that would expand testing of municipal water supplies, particularly for communities under 10,000 people, which are, by the way, most of the communities I represent, because we don't do that now, and we should. And in Newburgh, we've still got to make sure the Department of Defense pays for the cleanup, and there's some ongoing contamination that I'm very concerned about, and that has not been properly addressed yet, even though Senator Schumer and I did get money in the budget for the cleanup, and we're going to stay on that. So you know, it's a long-term issue. You got to stay on it. I'm also concerned, by the way, about some of the reports on lead in the water in Newburgh, so we're looking at that. You know, clean drinking water is a big issue. We finally got the Superfund site cleaned up at Hopewell Junction with federal dollars. They're getting new water. It's going on right now. So more testing, more research, you know, more cleanup of Superfund sites. By the way, GE has not finished the job on the Hudson River, and we shouldn't let them off the hook on the PCBs. I'm leading the congressional delegation on that right now to say to the EPA, don't let GE walk away from the Hudson River yet. We got to do more dredging, and you know, people should be able to eat the fish out of the Hudson River, you know, before the next century, and we're not on track to do that unless we do more dredging. So we got a lot of work to do on clean water. It's a big priority of mine.
Sean Patrick Maloney is a Democrat from New York's 18th District. He's been in office since 2013. Sean, when we come back the next time, let's go to something simple like climate change.